There is a fifth dimension beyond that which is known to man. It is a dimension as vast as space and as timeless as infinity. It is the middle ground between light and shadow, between science and superstition, and it lies between the pits of man's fears and the summit of his knowledge. This is a dimension of imagination in an area which we call Elder Dragon Journey.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're finally back live at the Elder Dragon Journal podcast. This is your host, Igor, and as with me, almost every week is my co-host, Nikša. Say hi, Nikša.
Hi.
So, Nikša, we have been missing for a week. Why did that happen?
Week or two?
A week. We actually recorded a week prior. We were supposed to record on an anniversary, but something happened.
Yeah. I had a really intense game of Magic, so I kind of broke my foot.
Because that's the thing you normally do.
Yeah, sorry about that, but
yeah, you
know, higher forces were at work.
But anywho, Nikša is here and he's okay-ish, I guess?
Yeah, bone's still broken, but I'll be sitting around for a couple of...
You should be back by Dominaria, I guess.
Yeah, by Dominaria I should be ready to
do things.
I was going for some witty pun, but... I haven't played Magic in a while, because I'm here, at home.
So, Nikša, what's your commander of the week?
I'm going to say the plaster my foot was in.
Wow! Sounds like a really intense game of Magic.
Yeah, it was after the, well, at least my first tournament, Modern League tournament. You know Magic is good? When you're playing against a Storm player, using your mono green Tron, and then the Storm player is forced to grape shot your Nissa Voice of Zendikar.
Wow.
You know things are going well then. I mean, again, I just can't believe it, but I had a lot of fun playing against Storm.
First time somebody said that.
I actually said it once before, but like... The first game I lost, the second game I won because he decided to storm, empty the warrens. Big mistake, by the way, because, you know, walking.
Yep.
And then he had a Baral, and then Garuk came and ate the Baral, so that's a thing that happens. Then he has to grape shot the Garuk because he can't start storming. And the third game I lost because I was just, you know, that one draw away from winning the game.
As you do.
But okay, I didn't complain. Also, I lost against Affinity because somebody forgot to put any kind or form of artifact destruction in their sideboard. Because I decided, hey, I'm going to go with the switcheroo tactic of Mono Green Tron. So I'm playing the walls in the main board. Since I have the walls, I don't need expedition maps. So let's put them the sideboard and people are like, huh, using walls. This artifact, I don't need anything to block his artifact. So I'm not going to put in Stony Silence that likes. I'm gonna put in more removal. And then just switch out the walls for maps. And then win by...
always a good tactic. Always a good tactic.
It is. Also, I was one... it was like turn like... 8 or 9 against Storm. He just couldn't get his combo pieces right. And I was stuck at 9 mana. And that was my 9 mana not because of I had no Tron lands. I had like 2 out of 3 of the Tron. And I was waiting for the third part and I couldn't cast Kozilek, the Great Distortion. Kozilek, the Great Distortion, I actually win against Storm because I counter everything. So that was...
That sounds like unfun.
The rest of the turn was decent. 3-2. Again, can't really blame the losses I had on my horrible plays, but I also can't say that the ones I won was because of my plays. Of course it was. What am I studying? Yeah. It was my superior wits and deck building expertise.
Let's go with that one. Why the hell not?
That was my first experience playing Tron with 3 different Nissa. and Garuk. So that's quite an amalgamation of planeswalkers.
So you're becoming a green planeswalker tribal.
I have no idea what's coming.
Wow, so deep.
I mean, I'll probably play the new Karn as well, if I get my...
Spoilers!
Oh, well, I mean, he's what kind Karn? Of the face of expansion, so...
No. You ruined the whole set for me now. Good job.
Well, good.
Wow.
Okay, what so, it? Igor, what was your commander?
I'll make it twofold. First, for the week prior, it was the Prosh, because Tess and I went to a tournament, a small or something more casual, let's call it casually...
An infinite small creation.
Something like that. Basically, it was supposed to be more casually, but then a guy showed up with Jace, Mana Drain, and Force of Will. So I'm like, well, good thing I brought Alesha, because, you know, fuck, people's having fun. However, I have flopped that tournament so much, because just draws weren't happening. So let's not focus on me, but Tess actually managed to take the whole thing down. Because her Lord and Savior, Food Chain, was there to save her ass.
Of twice.
In the final game, in the second game, the finals, she has a Food Chain on the field, she has Prosh on the field, and she casts Blood Artist. A guy goes to exile the Blood Artist, and she sacrifices it with Prosh, casts whatever that green Phyrexian regrowth thing is, and just eats another token to trigger Smothering Abomination. To draw, you know, the said Blood Artist.
Oh.
And she's like, I don't have any more mana. What the hell do I do now? And she's like, oh yeah, I'll just exile like 2 tokens. And then she did. And then she casted the creature, and guess what happened? They all died unceremoniously.
Of course.
So I was really proud of her, even though I was a huge screw up, but you know, at least somebody made us look good.
That's nice.
Come on. Oh yeah. She played Prosh, and she didn't actually play it for like a month or something like that. She was having too much fun with dinosaurs. But for the second part, I'll choose the Blood Pod, the Thymna and Tana deck. I've been playing it a bit more lately. I managed to have this Sunday a nice play of casting Set of Insanity quite early, like turn 4. Robbing people's hands, which made Marco really angry because he had Kefnet out. And guess what? When Set of Insanity is out, your Kefnet isn't really that useful.
Yeah, I could imagine that effect.
So I hit him a couple of times, he was at low life, and then I top deck Elishnorn, and Tess already had the Prosh out. I cast Elishnorn, she's like, ah. And then I focused on my power to kill Marco, and then I just one-shotted her, and she was quite upset.
I mean, who's not upset when Elishnorn wrecks everything?
Me, I was quite happy.
Of course.
So that was my week, and you know, I'm liking the Blood Pod, I'm also liking Alesha, a couple more fetch lines came for Alesha, so that's nice.
Yeah, I've been working on the KNT deck.
Yeah.
Just a bit of pimping out, bit of fixing the mana base. And at one point, I was like, somebody's selling a foil Animar, but he's quite expensive. And so I was like, yeah, why should I get a foil Animar when I can just make a foil Ulash to Hatesie command? And I actually started making Ulash, and then I stopped after 5 minutes because I realized how needy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he has no sustainable way himself of making counters. He just loses counters. He has that. I mean, that's his only weakness. He just doesn't have a way to replace his counters. You have to build your deck around giving him more counters stuff. But I did learn that he works quite well with Enraging Dinosaur.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, that's for some other. So yeah, I'm like still eyeing that foil Animar, but it's like, no, I'll just...
Yeah, before we move on, just one more thing I wanted to say. I did an article for Cardsphere that you might that you will find linked in the show notes about deck building. So give it a look, even though it's a old article by now. But you know, still it's still the only article they have on Commander on the page. So quite easy to find.
Well, also the topic is like, it doesn't get old.
It doesn't get old, and I think I did an okay job to, you know, avoid the usual deck building traps. Speaking of, there was this guy who was showing me his Marchesa deck today, and asked him, what's your mana curve? He was like, oh, it's nothing too much, it's just, you know, 4.0. I was like, no, guy, please. If you're in Grixis and your mana curve is 4.0, I better see reanimation effects. There was none, by the way. Yeah, I was like, dude, come on. Don't do that. And I was chastising Mate, our listener, for playing Temple of the False God in his deck. Because it's a bad card.
Yeah, it depends a lot on the deck. I mean, I decided to put it out of Kane because it doesn't give mana. And just, I remember a few games ago, I was searching for lands and I was like, okay, I need to find Temple of the False God so I can make this work. And yeah, there was the False God.
But how many of the times do you actually need Temple of the False God?
Not that much, actually.
Yeah, that game was more of an outlier than a rule, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, we have a bunch of things to speak, don't we?
Let me just say that what's it called? The Foothold. The Conqueror's Foothold. The land that comes from the Conqueror's Galleon.
Yeah.
Is it's absolutely absurd.
You mean the thing that does everything you want?
People, if you're not playing it in your deck, and you're playing creatures, the same rule as to why are you not running Smuggler's Copter goes for the Conqueror's Galleon.
Okay, Galleon has to be crewed by a bit more dudes than, you know, the
crew
Copter.
Crew 4, but come on, you're playing Commander.
At least you're not brandishing Vedalken Orrery as the best card ever, and it should go in every deck.
Ah, no, Vedalken Orrery is...
Yeah, but there are some people who are really hyping it. I'm just like, it's not that good of a card. And if you have to run that card to make your cards in the deck good, you're playing bad cards.
Stop. I'm getting Damia flashbacks.
But isn't it... for Damia, that actually is a good point to run that card, because you can dump your hand instant speed. That
yeah,
makes sense.
Also, you can play Damia instant speed, and that's where he thrives.
Yeah. But running it in every deck willy-nilly isn't good.
It's just not... I mean, if you're playing, like, Karador, you really don't need it. I mean, you're playing creatures, so...
But dude, I can run Rats instant speed. 90% of the time, you don't need to run Rats instant speed. That's the thing. If you're already in a situation where there's a bunch of tokens happening, chance is you have screwed up and let people develop a position.
Yeah, the principle that I always go by is, okay, so what would you rather have? Vedalken Orrery or an Ulamog? So, I'd rather have an Ulamog. I don't know about you.
Do you want to have a Vedalken Orrery or a threat, or is it just actually Ulamog?
I mean, yeah, I kind of blow it out of proportions. It's just, do you want to have a cool card, or do you want to have a Vedalken Orrery?
My actual turn of thought is more, do you want to have a Vedalken Orrery or an actual card that answers a threat? Because you're putting in a Vedalken Orrery to, you know, to be much faster with your responses to people.
Nah, that's
but
boring.
If there were only a category of cards that you could cast almost instantly, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Sadly, though. But speaking of instant stuff, do we have a cool product that is revolving mostly around instants, Niksha?
We do. Wizards finally unveiled their signature spellbook Jace.
To be honest, I wasn't expecting much of this product. When I heard it, I was like, well, this sounds like a stupid thing. Turns out, I was extremely wrong. And feel free to ridicule me.
So I remember when we were talking that there's probably just going to be like 8 instant and sorceries, because that it's a spellbook, so...
Yeah.
It turns out they actually included the first Jace Beleren.
Yeah, the party Jace is always cool.
So, what can you tell us about this set?
So, MSRP is supposed to be $19.99, if I remember correctly. It's going to be released on June 15th, 2018. And
I think it's April.
No, it says June 15th.
Oh, wow, that's an early...
Yeah, but there is, what do we say, 8 cards. And they have extremely cool border. And
yeah, the
font
and everything. Sick.
Like, oh my god. It looks almost like it's a masterpiece.
Almost, yeah.
Plus, all the cards are have that transparent text box. Like with Planeswalkers. And it has really cool borders on the bottom and top. But
it actually doesn't have transparent text
It doesn't?
Box. No. It's just the Planeswalker. It just seems like it because it has
some pattern. Yeah. Then I'm again mistaken. But Niksha, what cards are there?
Oh, you also forgot that the the white on the blue looks really nice.
Oh, I mean, it does.
Okay, so what cards? Mm-hmm. So we have Jace, Blue Elemental Blast, Brainstorm, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Counterspell, Gifts Ungiven.
Which isn't legal for Commander for some reason. Just give me Gifts Ungiven. Goddammit, if you unleashed stupid Protein Hulk, might as well give me this.
Mystical Tutor, Negate, and Threats of Disloyalty.
So most of these cards are actually extremely Commander playable. Only thing that's kind of not that much is Threads of Disloyalty, but that depends on your power levels and all that.
It functions in like a 1v1 more than...
I mean, even that's what I'm saying. In multiplayer, if you're playing more competitive, chances are there's a bunch of creatures with CMC2 or less running around that are doing some stupid effects. Like, you know, let's say Deathrite Shaman.
I mean, I'm glad that there's more Threads of Disloyalty in the market because I really need some for my Is It Land destruction. Because, you know, you just kill their lands and whatever they play, you just steal it.
Mm-hmm. Negate is always popular, plus it's often standard legal, so you can just run 4 of these and be really pimp while you're playing standard or commander. Mystical Tutor is a reprint that we needed so much because it's really pricey as a card. Gifts Ungiven, I ranted a bit about it, but you know, banned. Counterspell is Counterspell. Brainstorm has really sick art.
And it's always cool.
Yeah. And Blue Elemental Blast is meta dependent.
And like this.
Party Jace is Party Jace.
Also worth mentioning, so the cards are not foiled, but you will get a 9th card that is one of these 8. But foil.
Oh my god, is it random or?
It's random.
Oh, sweet. Now I want to buy like 6 of these, damn it.
The only thing we don't know is if the distribution is equal. So on like 100 boxes, are there going to be the same number of each of them foiled?
Mm-hmm.
Because that makes sense.
You know what's the funniest part? If I buy one of these products and I open the foil days, I'll be like, aww.
No, you'll be like, if you open a foil Gifts Ungiven, you'll be like, oh.
Don't you think? Oh no, I would be hyped for that. I can't play this, but goddamn, this is beautiful. Jace would, I would be most disappointed with Jace. If I open something like Counterspell or Mystical Tutor or Negate, I'd be like, okay, yeah, sweet, good.
Yeah, I mean, I managed to trade in for a foil Jace Beleren, the original. Actually, not the original foil. It's.
I have a dual deck one, I think. One that looks a bit anime, but not completely anime.
You have that one and not the one that's actually, not anime, mm-hmm. but manga.
Yeah. I have that, and that's why I would be disappointed to open 4JS. I already have this guy, damn it. So, what's next on the docket? Do we talk about the whole spoiler, or do we first tackle the buy box thing?
You mean, like, first the promo cards?
We can just do first the buy box, then the promos from today, if you want, and then tackle the spoiler. How much do we feel like doing it?
Sure, let's then go through the buy box and promos, and then go to the spoilers.
So, usually when you buy a booster box of any sealed product, you will get a buy box promo, right?
Yes.
And it's often a cool card from the set, yada yada yada. For this set, they're also doing a buy a box promo, but it's Legendary Creature, Firesong, and Sunspeaker for red and white. It's a 4/6 Minotaur Cleric, even though it's, you know, clerics, but let's leave that alone. Red instant and sorcery spells you control have lifelink. Whenever a white instant or sorcery spell causes you to gain life, Firesong and Sunspeaker deal 2 damage to target creature or player. So we finally have a Boros commander that's not about fighting, right?
Or creatures.
Oh, sorry.
Or creatures,
The funny thing about this, you can't open this in, you know, regular boosters, in anything. This is just a buy a box promo. Yeah. So this is a bit, because this is going to be a limited supply of this, and a bunch of people who want to, you know, have this, even though I'm not sure how good this is. It's not that good.
It's not that. I mean, they knowingly can't make it good, because that's unfair.
Yeah. We had similar things to this years ago, when you could buy, you know, a book, and then you get a special card, something like, you know, Mana Crypt. Mana Crypt used to be one of those. And, you know, people who would have access to those books would be in a huge advantage. But yeah, you could have this. And in the same article that it's said about Firesong and Sunspeaker, they have mentioned Brawl. And that we'll see about it more tomorrow. But it's going to be Commander variant that uses only standard legal cards.
Yeah, so we'll have to see what's that all about.
I'm a bit skeptical about it. As soon as they tell me it's a ton of fun, I'm a bit skeptical. If it were actually a ton of fun, you wouldn't have to say to me that it's a ton of fun.
I mean, it's logical that if they're going to do something like that, it's now, because it's Dominaria and it has a
bunch
metric
of
ton of legends.
We prefer shit ton in the business, but you know, whatever you do.
But yeah, I can feel their need to like do something fun with standard to push it, because
From what I've heard, the actual reason about standard is that it's kind of fun.
I wasn't in standard for quite some while now, so I don't know.
And you won't be able to.
I mean, I can't wait for Dominaria standard. It's going to actually be one of the cheapest standards ever.
Oh yeah. But Niksha, what if Brawl is the team for this year's Commander?
Shut up.
Could we please not, right? Shut up. Could we please not? It's not gonna be, I guess. I don't think they'll actually screw the product that way. Yeah. But we got some promos leaked today, didn't we?
Yup.
So, tell us, which ones do you like the most from those?
So, five of them we're going to either cover or we know about them already.
Yep.
So, some of the new ones are, there's this some kind of land that gives colorless mana, and when it enters the battlefield, you scry one.
Which is sweet, it doesn't enter tapped, it's just, you know, normal.
Yeah, which I would be actually very excited for this card, for like an Eldrazi Tron.
But you're kind of limited with slots, right?
I'm kind of super limited with land slots, and this just doesn't fit. And I really dislike running like one or two of these. I prefer a playset of them, but okay.
One of the better parts about this card is the flavor text.
Which I do not know, because...
Basically, from what I saw, the wind whispered, come back home, but I couldn't, Teferi. Something that those lines. Because Zalfir got really screwed when he was fixing Dominaria.
Well, it just reminded me of that.
Yeah.
You know what you're watching.
Yeah.
The very...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What's next interesting? The removal spell is interesting.
So it's one in a black, called something something. It's an instant. It says, destroy target non-legendary creature, right?
Which is nice. In Commander so-and-so, even though it has lots of targets.
But the part I'm excited about this card is that they're kind of bringing, they're almost sort of bringing back the old power level of cards.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is quite close to Doomblade level.
Yeah.
So, they said they're not gonna make one-drop dorks anymore.
But
we're getting Llanowar Elves. Actual Llanowar.
Well, they said many things, and they went back on them. So, you know.
I'm pretty sure they mentioned they don't want removal to be a... not that they didn't mention.
Actually, I think they mentioned something along those lines, that they didn't want answers to be too good. But then Kaladesh happened, you know?
Yeah, the thing is, Fatal Push is good in Modern, but it's not that amazing in Standard.
Okay, I have Fatal Push, I have Hazoret and things like that. Uh-huh.
No, you have like 3 or greater mana costs generally, because you don't do stuff so often in Standard. So this is like almost Doomblade. It like doesn't target legendary creatures, but you know, the only relevant legendary creatures right now, not taking Dominaria into account, can't be killed anyway.
Yeah.
So it's pretty strong.
And what we have next is Zahid, the Djinn of the Lamp. For 4 blue, it's a 5/6 djinn, legendary creature. But you may pay 3 and a blue and tap an artifact instead of paying its mana cost, and it has flying. It's basically a Mahamoti Djinn with an upside.
So that seems... 4 mana, 5/6. Yeah.
Yeah, but you need to remember that you still need to pay the commander tax. This isn't a case of Derivi.
Yeah.
The thing is, as a commander, I'm not... What do you do with this guy?
Don't do anything. Why? Just why? You have Teferi. Teferi is like literally under 2 euros. You don't play this as your commander.
If you're playing Jhin Tribal, I guess?
No. There are like 4 mono blue Jhins.
Nisha, people have made Samurai Tribal and, you know...
But Samurai Tribal works, okay? You just don't have a Samurai Commander. You have
And good Samurai. You don't have good Samurai as well.
I mean, I had a Pirate Tribal deck. Do you know how that deck is bad? I actually disassembled it after a couple of games because it's so bad.
I played against it. I know.
It's just this part where I had greed on the table and I paid 20 life for it. I was just like, I'm drawing cards, but it can't do anything. This deck is so, it's like frustratingly bad. It's just, I don't know. I give up. I can't handle this anymore. It's like, there are like 5 cool tricks you can do in the deck, but you can't get to them consistently.
Yeah. Maybe you should play Necropotence.
No. Then it'd still be worth drawing blanks.
Yeah, but for cheaper price.
Oh, but Miniksha, maybe you try Admiral Beckett Brass. No.
Or maybe you should play good decks. Huh?
No. I'm not gonna play Admiral Beckett Brass because I already said the best pirate is there's no other pirate.
Aw. Is this love that I'm feeling? This is the move. Anywho.
So, yeah. Just. I mean, Samurai could actually work, you know? You have that guy that gives him +1/+1 for every point of Jido.
Mm-hmm.
So you can do something, I guess. You can hit people.
But don't forget, they're actually bad.
I know. Nothing. You see? That's why ninjas are better than Samurai.
Oh, in magic terms, definitely, even though there's less of them. Inkai's actually does stuff.
Inkai's a standard powerhouse.
Yeah, I need to build a deck that uses Inkai's. Like, really.
Well, like, Prosh Inkai's, you know? Because you have all these 0/1 tokens that nobody's a block.
The thing is, when Test attacks with those tokens, they're usually 5/6 and more.
Well, this way, she can attack without them being 5/6, and they'll be like, yeah, sure, they can pass. And there's, like, suddenly Inkai's. And then like,
I think they'll do it once and then be like, oh, okay, not more days anymore.
But still, there's too much tokens. You're not gonna drop all the tokens.
Nisha, speaking of too much, let's move to spoilers.
Yes.
So, as you all know, there has been a huge leak of cards. And as I said to Nisha, I'm not even pissed anymore about the huge leaks because leaks themselves. I'm pissed of how many leaks there are and I have to read through all of those. Oh! And we'll see one huge change in this. You know, whenever a card refers to he or she, his or her hand and all that, they're changing it to there. And I'm happy just as a podcaster that I have to read his. Okay, theirs. Nice. Sweet. Short. Thank you, Wizards. Even if this was the most SJW move they could ever do.
Well,
thank you, Wizards.
Wasn't because of that.
I know it wasn't. I'm saying for conspiracy theory people. If it was that, thank you, Wizards. Why didn't you do this before?
Because they were following standard grammatical.
I know, Chicago edition dictionary, something like that.
So it was like more correct to write his or her. But yeah, this is like cleaner and easier to say.
For the podcasters, thank you, yes.
And they removed the 2-year mana pool thing from things that add mana.
So the podcast, the mana pool no longer has free plugs. Damn it.
And I mean, they could have actually removed add. They could have just like, on Lanowarl's Elves, just tap green. I think it's pretty obvious that you're getting green mana tapping.
I mean, for us entrenched players, yeah. For new players, it's always going to be confusing. They're going to tap their elf and go search a forest. It's always going to happen the first time.
I guess.
You did it most likely, I did it most likely, and a lot of people do it when they start playing Magic. I mean, a forest has that symbol, this is tap for it, sure, why not? That reminds me, a friend used to play Goblin Lumberjacks or something like that. The thing that you sacrifice a forest to get 3 mana, either red or green. He used to tap it and just get like 3 forests. I was like, wow, this is a good... When I was just starting out, wow, this is a good card. Turns out, Doesn't work that way.
Still a good card, though.
But let's move on to actual Dominaria spoilers.
Well, actually, one more change is the Planeswalker Redirection.
Yeah.
So now there's going to the target is going to specify target creature, target player, or target Planeswalker. If a card says any target, it can target anything.
Yeah.
I mean, it can target legal targets. You can't target an island or something like that.
So, what does this change, Ningxia?
Well, it changes 700 cards, or around 700 cards, that they're all going to have to be errated. But mostly it doesn't change anything.
It does change one thing.
It does change, like, all those area of effect spells that dealt damage to all players. Can't redirect that damage to Planeswalker.
Plus, Leyland of Sanctity became about much weaker right now. Not that much weaker, but you know.
And those kind of cards that gave you hexproof, they don't give your Planeswalkers hexproof.
Yeah, which is actually makes more sense and it's cleaner. Because whenever I taught new players how to interact with Planeswalkers, they were like, "Wait, I can redirect, but why?" Because logic doesn't make any sense.
It's because of the old wording on the cards before, but with the new wording, it's a lot easier.
Yeah, I know, but you can't explain that easily to a new player, so...
Also, like, the Minotaur God, what's it called?
Mogis?
Mogis, yeah, he can't kill Planeswalkers anymore.
Yeah, but let's start with Dominaria. Finally, we're back home, to my home turf, at least. And your homeboy Karn is here. What does he do?
Hooray for Karn. So Karn is 4 mana and not 8
mana.
Oh my
god.
Like we thought it would be, because he would be like one turn off of Tron.
But he's 4 mana for a reason.
It's 4 mana, 5 loyalty, and has +1. Reveal the top 2 cards for a library. An opponent chooses one of them. Put that card into your hand and exile the other with a silver counter. For -1, put a card you own with a silver counter on it from exile into your hand. And for -2, you get a 0/0 colorless construct artifact creature token. God. It has, this creature gets +1/+1 for each artifact you control. So it's a 1/1 bare minimum.
So is this slam dunk in every Tron deck ever, or?
No. It's slam dunk in about no Tron app. Maybe in mono blue. Probably in mono blue Tron, because that deck plays the long game, and this card is like really good for the. So, this card doesn't seem like a modern powerhouse to me. Even though it's 4 mana for basically 6 loyalty. I mean, 6 loyalty. What's going to kill that? I mean, yeah, the card draw is like kind of bad card draw, because your opponent gives you a card. But
yeah, but
it's
you can
still card draw.
Yeah, but you can always get it back.
And if you exile a bunch of cards and then Karn gets killed, you can use the other Karn you play to get those things back.
Oh.
Because it doesn't specify that it has to be exiled by this Karn.
He just needs to have a counter.
So that's really nice. And he makes chump blockers. He can make 2 chump blockers and still live. And if you're playing an artifact based deck, that they can actually get, you know, kind of big. And you know, this one fits into my mono green Tron better than the other Karn, the actual Karn, the good Karn,
mm-hmm.
because
the money Karn.
That Karn, like, he's best when played early.
Mm-hmm.
The more the game goes on, the worse he becomes. And this guy is just like, hey, draw some cards, hooray!
Draw some more cards.
Then
make a dude.
So I can see him being played a lot in standard, because he's 4 generic mana with 5 loyalty. That goes into any deck that exists. It just goes. Amazing for that, actually. That's the problem. He's going to be pricey for some time.
Yeah, and maybe it'll be like, oh, nobody's playing this, and then he drops.
And then I get all of them.
Yes.
Well, the dream scenario is that he drops like Tybalt, but that's not gonna happen.
That's not gonna happen. Wanna talk about my homeboy?
Go on.
So, Teferi, Hero of Dominaria. 3 white and a blue. 4 loyalty, legendary planeswalker Teferi. +1, draw a card at the beginning of next end step, untap 2 lands. Okay, already we have some time shenanigans happening.
Already we have a guy that protects himself with counterspell mana.
Yep, or bounce mana. -3, put target non permanent into its owner's library third from the top. This is a really good one.
Again, some time shift.
And -8, you get an emblem wit. Whenever you draw a card, exile target permanent an opponent controls. I remember when Vincent was trying to do that whole shenanigans with, you know, exiling stuff and all that. Yeah, this is much better.
I mean, wow. This... doubling season, hello.
Okay, boy. But yeah, this is a real deal. He's actually good. Only problem I have with him is that he's white-blue. And that he's an actual planeswalker. Yeah. How, Nixa? How?
Redcon training coming.
Oh. But yeah, this as a card on its own, really good. Has protection, has advantage, and if you ever get to that ultimate, oh my god.
Also, he's called Hero of Dominaria. I wouldn't really call him a hero.
He both fucked up and saved Dominaria at the same time.
Yeah.
Plus, he was actually saving Dominaria when Phyrexians were attacking.
He was, but still, he almost, you know, destroyed the multiverse.
Oh, wow. Who was hasn't almost destroyed the universe? Multiverse.
Oh, well, you can't blame him. We all make mistakes. At least, you see, at least he gave the ultimate sacrifice a planeswalker can give. Not his life, but his spark.
But hey, it's back,
so all of his character development and that losing of his heroic sacrifice goes to nothing.
In his defense, being a planeswalker now compared to previously is crockshit.
Yeah, he's weaker than... Ooh, like...
Look at me, I can move to multiverse. Isn't this great?
Yeah, he still can't beat any of the guildmasters of Ravnica.
No, this is more... I'm more referring to the point Nicol Bolas bit his head off.
And he survived.
When he was an old... Yep, he was an old walker because head doesn't mean anything to an old walker. Because they were just beings of pure energy.
Just pure.
Yeah. Energy. And they just picked whatever form they wanted. So, you know, having his head bitten off isn't that big of a deal.
Yeah, it was easy. It was really hard to kill a planeswalker. Except if you convince them they're dead. Then they die. So if you're a really good sweet talker, you can actually kill them easily.
Speech 100, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, what's the next on the docket, Nixa?
Well, we have another planeswalker. Jaya Ballard.
Mm.
Ballard. So, she's a 2 and triple red for a 5 loyalty Jaya. Plus 1, add 3 red mana to your mana pool. Add 3 red. Spend this mana only to cast instant or sorcery spells. Plus 1 again. Discard up to 3 cards, then draw that many cards. Kind of.
I'm liking that one.
And for -8... you get an emblem with, you may cast instant and sorcery cards from your graveyard. If a card cast this way would be put into your graveyard, exiled it instead. So it basically gives you flashback as like innate skill as a player.
Kind of good.
So somebody in one of the comment sections mentioned that it's a nice transition to see her, like the first Jaya we got. She was a destruction mage. She would just, like, destroy everything she's... And then she's, like, a mentor of sorts.
Yeah.
She helps the player. She doesn't burn everything to the ground.
She helps the player burn everything to the ground.
Yeah, that she does.
She's cool.
It's a decent enough planeswalker.
It's not a Torch of Defiance, but, you know, not every card needs to be Torch of Defiance.
I mean, she's almost, like, a Doretti.
Mm-hmm.
Because, discard 3, draw 3, that's...
And it's really nice to see Jaya again.
Even though there was a lot of talking about is she actually a planeswalker or not. Because at one point she was a planeswalker, but then again she wasn't really a planeswalker, just a mage with extremely strong magic.
She was confirmed to be an actual planeswalker.
Was it at some point during her existence they said like...
No, she was always the planeswalker. They just couldn't represent her on a card. But when you see the original Jaya Ballard Task Mage card, template looks really a lot like a planeswalker. Because they have one red discard a card, this third attack blue permanent, but it almost looks like a plus one. And second is almost like, you know, a minus ability, and the third is like an ultimate ability.
Yeah.
So she was always a planeswalker, they just didn't have technology to represent. Even though in the next block, right afterward, they put in planeswalkers. They were actually debating that they put her as a planeswalker or just as a creature, and they just put her like a creature.
Yeah, it was kind of hard making pre-mending planeswalker.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they kind of, they basically have plus one win the game, minus one win the game.
Not all of them did, but the main players did.
So let's go to by color.
I'm gonna keep it like this, opened normally, but next up we have the rune is blast. Wanna talk about that one?
Yeah, like, so let's go on white.
So Urza's rune is blast. For 4 and a white, it's a legendary sorcery. What the hell is a legendary sorcery?
It's a sorcery.
You may cast a legendary sorcery only if you control a legendary creature or a planeswalker. And on the art, we see Urza being a badass.
Urza just destroying everything, like always?
Exile all non-land permanents that aren't legendary. Centuries ago, one man's vengeance plunged the world into ice and darkness. And if you see the art properly, I think you can see the anvil from the Antiquities symbol.
Is it an anvil?
I think it's actually Golgotin Silex, but
yeah,
whatever.
I think it's a Silex.
But it looks more like an anvil, so... But this was the moment where Urza ascended into Planeswalkerhood and plunged the plane of the Dominaria into Ice Age. This is the final battle between him and Mishra.
Oh, you can also see some planets.
Yeah, because he's ascending. He ascended when the Mixer and the Power Stone got lodged into his eyes.
Ouch.
Yeah. Usually, Planeswalker transformation is done through traumatic experiences, so...
So, yeah, this is one of the reasons why I want to make, like, a legendary tribal deck for Standard, but it doesn't actually get rid of Hazard and Scarab God.
Yeah, yeah. What's the next thing we want to talk about, Nixon?
So, next up we have Benelish Marshal, almost Commander. Unfortunately, we're not there yet. Benelish Marshal is a triple white for a 3/3 creature human knight that gives your other creatures plus one, plus one.
It's a simple card, but it's real sweet, plus we get a callback to Benalia. That's where Gerard is from, right?
Yeah.
Sweet. Next...
Did I say it's not Benelish Commander?
No, Benelish Marshal.
No, I know, but I said it was close to what? Benelish Commander?
Yes.
I was thinking Field Marshal. Not Field Marshal.
Next card we need to mention is Knight of Grace, not because it's a great card. It's one and a white for a human knight 2/2. First strike, it gets plus one plus zero as long as any player controls a black permanent, but it has hexproof from black. This is an interesting design though. This creature can't be target of black spells or abilities your opponents control. They wanted to give it semi-protection, I guess.
I know they wanted to give it semi-protection and they just gave it horrible hexproof.
I think that I'm actually glad to see this. That might actually mean that they're slowly phasing Hexproof out.
No, they're not phasing Hexproof out. They just removed protection from the game.
I know that. I just want them to remove fucking Hexproof from the game because that's stupid.
They should have said, like, Shroud from Black.
Or just Shroud, you know?
Because Shroud is actually a balanced deck.
Yeah. Fuck you, Sigarda. I mean, nothing. I played against her this Sunday, so I'm still a bit twitchy about that.
I'm still mad about the stupid Hydra. I mean, come on. Yep. Come on. What's up with that?
Let's talk about the card you really like. What's the next card on the list?
Oh, the next card is Deb.
Deb on the haters.
For a 2 and a white, you enchant a creature. You enchant creature. It's an aura. Enchanted creature gets to Deb on haters. Meaning it gets +2/+2, has first strike, and is a knight in the...
Before people start screaming at us, we know it's called Dub. But Niksha is being really a meme lord, so, you know.
I mean, it's just such a stupid joke, I have to.
It's super stupid.
I mean, just imagine somebody appearing with an altered Dub to be Deb. I mean, and by someone, I mean...
Yeah, you're definitely gonna
do that. I'm definitely... I mean, I did the whole arrow in the knee joke with pacifism, so...
Yep.
I'm pretty sure I'm gonna go Deb, some Deb joke on this Dub.
We don't need to read every card, right?
No.
Okay, then I wanna talk about Teshar, the Ancestor's Apostle. For 3 and a white, it's a bird cleric, legendary creature, 2/2. Flying, whenever you cast a historic spell, return target creature card with common mana cost 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. Artifacts, legendaries, and sagas are historic.
That's a cool card.
That's a cool card, and we finally get the historic cards referenced. What I like about the historic cards, you know, as a thing, is it's hearkening to nostalgia a lot. What's the next thing you want to talk about?
I mean, I just want to mention actually a pretty good card, because you can, like, play those zero-cost artifacts and keep getting things back. I'm pretty sure there's, like, a really stupid infinite combo with this, but...
I'll try to put this in Alesha, because, you know...
Oh.
I cast, let's say, Sword of War and Peace. I get this stupid thing back. I cast the Signet. I get this stupid thing back. By the way, isn't Hot Soup the most legendary thing ever that you want to talk about your generations coming after you? The most historic thing, Hot Soup. Also, Rufflecopter.
Yeah.
Really historic. For some things, it makes sense, like, you know, Umezawa's Jitte and things like that, being historic.
Yeah, but it's like, it's an artifact from days of old. Okay.
But there is also, I don't know, just some stupid sword. Leonin Scimitar. Extremely historic. Actually, I'm being facetious, but bowl of hot soup would actually be really historically important.
I mean, if you had a bowl of hot soup, remain hot for like...
No. I'm just saying a bowl that's kept the semi-good and you find it in, you know, ground. Archaeologically, it's actually more important than, let's say, a sword or something like that.
Yeah.
Because this gives you more of insight to what people used to live like.
So it makes all the sense.
Bowl of hot soup more important than Umezawa Jitte, it seems.
Confirmed.
Wow.
Heard it here first, boys.
Wow. Next thing on the docket, Nixon.
Well, we got our first uncommon legendary creature.
We haven't had those since Kamigawa, right?
Yes. So, Quende, Pride of the Femeref, 3 and a white for a legendary creature, Human Knight, that has double strike, 2-2, and creatures you control with first strike have double strike. So, yeah. I mean, nothing to write home about, but...
It makes Talia's much better.
It does, but it's a 4-mana.
Gee! When has that ever stopped, Ninixa? Plus, Alesha attacks and gets this back from the graveyard, suddenly she has double strike. There we go.
I mean, oh, sure. Works with your swords, I guess.
Yeah. Next one was the one we were talking about, and we weren't sure if it was legendary or not. Turns out it is.
Oh, one thing to mention.
Oh.
All packs of Dominaria will have at least one legendary card. I don't remember if it's one legendary creature card or one legendary. So every pack is guaranteed a legend.
Sweet. Anywho, Evra, Halicon Witness. 4 white for a 4/4 legendary avatar. She has lifelink and a 4 generic. Exchange your life total with Evra Halicon's Witness's power. So Voltron, like you never Voltroned, I guess.
The first time I was reading this card, it was like, so a 6-mana 4/4 that lets you exchange your life total with it. I mean, whatever? What? Why? Well, I mean, whatever. Like, I don't know. Don't do anything. And then I noticed it actually has lifelink. I was like...
Oh.
So that's the way they're gonna play. Okay. Okay.
Plus, I mentioned an extra one thing. Commander damage. And he was like, yeah.
That too.
Just make sure she can hit the opponent and that's it.
Speaking of hitting, we have finally gotten our new Bankslayer Angel.
Haven't seen her in a while.
So it's Lyra Dawnbringer for 3 and double white. It's a 5/5 legendary creature angel. So it's legendary, not quite Banks. Flying first strike lifelink. And instead of those two protections, it has other angels you control get +1/+1 and have lifelink.
That protection, but not to mention it, was the saddest thing ever. It Bankslayer Angel had protection from demons and dragons, right? And then they printed in original Zendikar a Halo Hunter. A demon, when he comes into play, he destroys an angel, whose basically sole mission was to kill Bankslayer Angel. But she had protection from him.
Also, the Thundermaw Hellkite.
Yeah. But let's get back to this card. This is an actually good card. You can just ignore the angel part, I guess, and just smash people with this.
Well, yeah, 5-mana, 5/5 flying first strike lifelink. It was really powerful the first time. It's going to be powerful this.
Is it though? Because the game has changed a lot.
Does it die to Glorybringer?
That's a good point.
It dies to removal, but okay, you know, everything dies to removal. Most things die to removal, except Hydra. Fuck Hydra.
let's carry on. Baird, Steward of Argive, 2 white-white for a 2-4 legendary human soldier. Vigilance and creatures can't attack you or planeswalker you control unless their control plays 1 generic for each of those creatures. Nice, simple, effective.
I mean, it's a small tax to pay, but it stops, like, a big horde from doing...
But Niksha, the thing is, it's a small tax, but whenever you see a taxing effect like this, it never comes alone.
Well, it actually does, because, you know, it's a legendary creature, so you can't stack them up.
I'm meaning more with propaganda and ghostly prisons and everything in those matters.
But you do have that white muse that does this, but then play 2 mana.
If you're playing Pillow for Deck, I think you're playing this along with
course,
the muse.
Of course, I mean, if you're going extreme Pillow Fort, you can make this your commander.
You're missing out on propaganda and things like that.
I know, but pillow.
Yeah, I'm more referring to just, you know, build a typical Pillow for Deck and put this guy inside, because why not?
I actually wanted to mention that Lyra is kind of a, you know, semi, I would say decent angel tribal.
She is, because she's cheap.
But then again, maybe the other angels are, like, better, the red-white thing.
Let's carry away. So what's the next thing you want to talk about, Nixon?
This one's actually really cool. Seal Away.
Yeah?
It's a 1-white enchantment with flash. when Seal Away enters the battlefield, exile target tapped creature and opponent controls until Seal Away leaves the battlefield. So yeah, almost efficient.
Almost.
I mean, tapped, so it's obviously attacking.
See, Braid gets away with its cough clean. He can't get sealed away. Haha, vigilance.
So yeah, this is a, like, nice sealed card, nice standard card.
It might actually see playing standard because it's dirt cheap.
2 mana for
1 white.
It gets rid of a Hazoret.
Haha. Also, it gets rid of the dragon.
Gets rid of a lot of.
But let's move on to our first saga, History of Benalia. 1 white-white enchantment saga. As this saga enters end after you draw a step, add a lore counter. Sacrifice after 3. 1 and a 2. Create a 2/2 white knight creature token of vigilance. 3 knights you control get +2/+1 until the end of turn.
It's a saga, but it's not really an exciting one.
That's why it's uncommon.
Yeah. It's telling the story of White Knights.
It's also telling the story of, I think, Waylay. Remember that card? So, that used to be a really broken card because of the previous rules. Because it said, you know, if you cast things on the end step, things would get a bit murky. The cards would stay a bit longer than they should have. So Waylay was supposed to be used, you know, as an instant to stop your opponent's creatures from hitting it, because you're just casting 3 dudes for free, and they disappear on the next end step. But if you cast them on your own end step, they would stay till the end of next turn. So you would get 6 mana for 6 power of dudes for 3 mana. And they had to rotate the thing. So it's cool. Talk about the next card, please. Please.
Healing Grace.
Yes.
So it's 1 white for an instant. Prevent the next 3 damage that will be dealt to any target this turn by a source of your choice. You also 3 life.
It's better than Healing Salve.
And it's better than whatever the card that redirects damage is called.
Which one?
I mean, there was a 1-mana redirect damage.
Oh, it was a cool one. The one with almost burned corpse that got redirected, right?
I can't remember, but there was.
That was a cool card, though, unlike Healing Salve.
But yeah, this is like Healing Salve as it should have been.
Yeah. But next card is actually good. Because it's sweet and it tells a story of a character we all like. Triumph of Gerard. 1 and a white, it's an enchantment saga. 1 and 2 is put the +1/+1 counter on target creature you control with the greatest power. And 3, target creature you control with the greatest power gains flying, first strike, and lifelink at the end of turn. Just nice, simple, but cool.
Why aren't sagas legendary?
I don't know.
I mean, like, you have 2 Triumphs of Gerard. It's like that 2 people telling the same story.
Basically.
But one is like, yeah, I don't know. It's just kind of weird, but I guess mechanically speaking, necessary that they're not legendary.
Ooh, can I take the next one, please?
Sure.
So, I was always saying, jokingly, Ooh, gee, why can't we have our Armageddon in standard? Well, guess what? So, Fall of the Tron, 5 and a white, Enchantment Saga. 1, destroy all lands. Done. Okay, 2 and 3, each player returns 2 land cards from their graveyard to the battlefield. Remember, please, this only happens if you do not destroy your own Fall of the Tron, which you should do. Cast this and people will be like, okay, we'll get our lands back. But no, take all the hope they can have. This is a cool card and might actually be played in standard.
It probably won't be because it's 6 mana to destroy all lands, which is whatever. But if you use the, what's it called, Sentinel Totem, you can just, you know, exile their graveyard so they don't have any lands ever again. And that's why I just love this card. Also, this is one more thing that they decided not to do anymore, and that's mass land destruction.
Yeah. Or play this before you put a land drop. Play it, destroy lands, and then Bujuka box somebody's graveyard. See? You did a land drop and screwed up a person.
I mean, I'm just going to use this in standard. I just want to destroy all lands in standard. I mean, again, I never did that before.
Wait, when I destroy all lands, that's bad, but when you do it, it's good. Okay, okay.
I mean, if you're gonna do it in standard, be my guest.
No, I just like destroying lands.
I know, and now destroy all the lands. Yes.
Moving up to blue, I guess?
Yeah, we're done with white.
Yeah, your turn, Nixon.
So, let's see, Karn's Temporal Sundering, which is a legendary sorcery, for 4 and double blue. Target player takes an extra turn after this one, return up to 1 target non-land permanent to its owner's hand, and exile this card.
It's good.
The only problem with this card is, it says target player.
Yeah, misdirection is a bitch.
Like, you know, the rest of the extra turn cards don't target it, so...
I think this is more of a callback to Time Walk, because Time Walk was target player. So they could be going for that, actually.
But Bounce is a permanent, so...
No, just the target player thing. They, I think, mashed up a couple of cards in this one, so...
I know, but they really could have just taken extra turn.
Yeah.
It would make the card much better.
What's next? Tempest Djinn isn't that impressive, but the Merfolk Trickster is.
It is.
It costs you much salt. It was blue-blue. Merfolk Wizard, flash. When Merfolk Trickster enters the battlefield, tap target creature and opponent controls. It loses all abilities in the end of turn, and it's a 2-2.
So the big part of this card isn't the fact that it taps a creature.
Hey, yep.
And it loses all abilities. So yeah, nice Goyf you got there. Would be a shame if it was a 0-1.
Nice Death Shadow with Double Strike. Oh yeah, sorry, I did a... I dumped. Sorry, I dumped.
But yeah, nice Worm Coil.
Yeah.
You're gonna get lots of that life now.
Oof, that's gonna be a blowout, isn't it?
Yeah, and the nice tokens you get after it dies. Pretty good. So yeah,
Merfolk Man.
Our Merfolk Guru is...
Fish Person.
Excited for this card, and rightfully so. I mean, what's going on? Why are Merfolk becoming modern better?
So
happening?
So you can have much difficult games, much more difficult games.
I mean, he even has Flash. You don't need Vile for it. I mean, you'll still Vile it.
Because of course you will.
It's just our powerful Merfolk.
So, next up is Antiquities War. Read what it does. What the hell?
Anywho,
my phone started doing things, so...
The Antiquities War. It's a saga for 3 and a blue. So, on 1 and 2, it says, look at the top 5 cards of your library. You may reveal an artifact card from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library in a random order. And on 3, artifacts you control become artifact creatures with base power and toughness 5/5 until end of
turn. Apparently Tezzeret needed more help.
Tezzeret always.
But yeah, I'm liking this is telling the story of the Antiquities War when Mishra and Urza fought each other with all the machines. And when they did that, they actually ravaged the whole land.
Oh yeah.
That's where Stupmine comes from. Because they were just stripping the entire land for everything they could get. Speaking of old times, we have Tetsuko Umezawa, Fugitive. For 1 and a blue, It's a 1-3 human rogue. Creatures you control with power one, power or toughness one or less can't be blocked. Who is she running from, Miksha? Do you have an idea?
Well, I don't know, because Tetsuo is always, I presume, dead.
Oh, he is, but you don't remember one thing when Bolas awakened from, got released actually from.
I mean, yeah, Bolas prison. Did say that he's going to end the Umezawa bloodline wherever he finds it. That's why he killed
many people.
Not many people, just but an entire planet.
You know.
But yeah, where did this Tetsuko Umezawa suddenly come up?
Well, she's apparently running, and I'm guessing it's from Bolas. This is a good addition, I guess, for your for Edric.
Well, no, but it definitely is a good addition.
I mean, both can actually work. You could slow this in Edric really easily. So even if
toughness, that's
yeah, even if they do have flyers, so they can block you, they can block anymore.
Oh yeah, this is isn't actually that good for ninjas because they. I want to carry some swords.
Yep. Yep.
So yeah, I'll pass on this card.
Wanna read the precognition field?
Well, since you mentioned then, I guess I'm gonna read it. So it's a 3 and a blue enchantment. You may look at the top card of your library at any time. But it's not a scry, you can just look at it.
Yeah.
You may cast the top card of your library if it's an instant or sorcery card, and for 3, you exile the top card of your library.
Yeah, this is almost like a better feature sight for Spellslinger decks.
It's like that Menagerie Ward.
Oh yeah, Vizier of the Menagerie.
Or that, Vizier of the
Menagerie. This is a really strong enchantment, I like it.
Yeah, it's good. You don't reveal to your opponent any cards,
yep.
So...
Which is both good and bad.
How is it bad?
Sometimes you would just have a counterspell on top of your library and everybody would be like, okay, let's not do anything to displease this person.
I mean, you can still say that.
Oh yeah, yeah, but this way they're just like, okay, I can do... Oh yeah, that thing is over there. Okay. Or even better, you can make people feel bad when they cast the thing and they forget that it was there. Ah, the feel bads. So next one is interesting. Naban, Dean of Iteration. For 1 and a blue, 2-1 human wizard, legendary of course. If a wizard entering the battlefield under your control causes a triggered ability of a permanent you control to trigger, that ability triggers an additional time.
So
oh my god,
triggers.
This is awesome. Sheesh.
So it's a Panharmonicon for wizard.
Yeah, which gets even stupider if you have, you know, Panharmonicon.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Yeah, more triggers.
But yeah, wizards are the blue team in this set. For white, it's knights. It is obvious, but we have to mention.
I mean, angels.
Angels too, yeah, but you have more things to care about knights for the time being.
And wizards seem like a pretty strong archetype for...
Yeah.
For
plus,
standard.
For commander purposes, a lot of random things are just wizards. Just randomly. What's next, Nixon?
Well, we have some Bolas's Clutches. Legendary.
Which is less important, yeah.
It's a legendary enchantment. 4 and double blue. It's a story spotlight card. Spotlighting something. You enchant a permanent, you control it, and it's legendary.
Sweet.
Unless you get a Sapperling token, probably.
No, though it's a really important Sapperling.
It's good.
You have no idea.
Yeah, but the other Sapperlings won't be as important anymore.
Well, yeah, this guy's like super important. You have a whole village full of people, and you have Toshi Umezawa in it. There is Toshi Umezawa, and then there's just a bunch of the NPCs.
Yeah, and then you take an NPC, and then suddenly that ain't important.
Holy shit! It's Villager 26! Oh my god. That guy is so cool.
Well, now it's an actually interesting card.
Read.
Narumeha, Master Wizard. For 2 and double blue, it's a 3-3 human wizard. Legendary, of course. With flash. When Narumeha, Master Wizard, enters the battlefield, copy target instant or sorcery spell you control. You may choose new targets for the copy. Other wizards you control get +1.
I'm not sure how I feel about this guy. Because it's a great boost for your wizards, but your wizards aren't that, you know, much fight-centric. And copying your instant or sorcery is good, but it has to be instant or sorcery. So it's just taxing your spell for an additional 4+ mana.
Well, if you're copying a spell that costs 5 mana, then you're ahead.
Yeah, but it needs to be your thing, so you already paid mana for that as well.
Yeah, but you're paying 9 mana instead of 10.
If it isn't your commander, you know. And if it didn't die sometimes.
I don't know, seems kind of sketchy. But hey, it does work well with the Panharmonicon wizard.
Oh my god.
You get an additional copy.
I'm suddenly liking this.
See? It works.
And this guy actually works well with the next card in the line.
Which one?
The Mirari Conjecture. 4 in blue, Enchantment Saga. 1. Return target instant card from your graveyard to hand. 2. Return target sorcery card from your graveyard to hand. 3. Until end of turn, whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, copy it. You may choose new targets for the copy. More copies for your copy, so you can copy while you copy.
Whoa, all the copying.
All the copying.
Oh, yeah.
It's cool.
It's cool, yeah. You have to wait a couple of turns to get the effect, but...
Yeah.
Does the saga die when it reads 3?
Yes, it does. Oh. It sacrifices itself.
That's too bad, because, you know, you get to 3, and then it dies the next turn because it can't go up. And then you can just hex Parasite. I know, but
yeah.
If it worked like that.
Actually, you can be an asshole and just have Hex Parasite and the Armageddon one. We put it in one. I ate one. You can't?
So, another thing is, if you make the saga enter with, like, 3 lore counters at once, it actually comes into play, it triggers all of the triggers, and then dies.
That's okay. It was a really fast retelling of a story. So a guy came, did a thing. He was cool. Okay, sweet.
And then everyone dies.
Yeah. What's next on the docket?
Wizard's Retort.
Oh, yeah.
So it's 1 and a blue and a blue for an instant that says counter target spell, which by itself isn't that special. I mean, it's a cancel, but this spell costs 1 less to cast and control a wizard.
Ooh, it's a counterspell.
It's counterspell.
Wait.
And you know what? We do have a 1-drop blue wizard.
Oh.
The siren,
yes. So, by the way, we didn't mention, but the Mirari Conjecture is telling the story of the Mirari.
I thought it was a story about Black Blade.
Oh, you know. I wish Black Blade got a story. But, you know. Next saga is the Time of Ice, which is the retelling of the story after Mishra, after Mishra and Urza fucked everything up and cast a Dominaria into the Ice Age. For 1 and 2, tap target creature an opponent controls. It doesn't untap during its controller's next untap step for as long as you control Time of Ice. 3, return all tapped creatures to their owner's hands. Nice, simple, and it's locking everything up.
Not all everything, it locks things up.
You're playing blue, you can tap everything.
Yeah, with Giga Drows.
Yeah, things like that. So what next? That you want to talk about?
Well, there's a Sentinel of the Pearl Trident, which is a Merfolk, and I'm not gonna talk about it, because it doesn't actually...
Okay, just, if there's anything interesting...
Another Lord.
If it's something interesting, say if not, we can go jump to black.
It just flickers, never mind. Academy Journeyman, nothing, Homer, it all got home. let's go to black.
So, read the thing. The great thing.
So, we have the Phyrexian Scriptures, which is a saga, for 2 and double black. For at 1, put a +1/+1 counter on up to 1 target creature. That creature becomes an artifact in addition to its other types. On 2, destroy all non-artifact creatures. And on 3, exile all cards from all opponent's graveyard.
First of all, this is the first saga we saw with the actual template of a saga. Mm-hmm. How it looks like an extra card. And the art is sweet. You see a Phyrexian blood altar and somebody being sacrificed on it. Just a hand that's dropping. And it's retelling the story of how Phyrexians seduced people in Dominaria. And fucked everything up.
Yeah. It's a wrath effect with a 1-turn delay.
Yeah.
I mean, the third part of the saga is... It's not really...
But it's sweet.
Yeah. It makes one of your dudes immune to destroy.
Next saga that we can talk about is another guy that we know from the Magic's past, Chainer's Torment. For 3 and a black, 1 and 2, Chainer's Torment deals 2 damage to each opponent and you gain 2 life. At 3, create an XX Black Nightmare Horror Creature token, where X is half of your life total, rounded up. It deals X damage to you. So, I'm not sure how I feel about this one.
I mean, you get you get a total of 8 points of life, and then you lose half of that. It's like, I mean,
depending on how the game was going.
Yeah, it's I mean, honestly, there's better ways to make big tokens than have.
You can make this big token and just have it something like Children of Corlys or something like that to get it all back. But yeah, if you're looking to do those shenanigans, Phyrexian processor is much better. Next thing on the... Oh my god, that's a Lich's. Make sure read this card. One.
It's so
read
cute.
This one.
Lich's Master. It's a 3 and triple black for a legendary enchant. It has hexproof. You can't lose the game. It's obvious. It's good.
Huh.
When does becoming a Lich ever have a drawback?
Never.
Whenever you gain life, draw that many cards.
Sweet. Sold. Mm-hmm. Done. Mm-hmm. Best card ever.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do we even have to read further?
It says
draw card. Sure. Let's keep reading. Maybe there's something better. Whenever you lose life, for each one life you lost, exile a permanent you control or a card from your hand or graveyard.
Hey, I just drew those cards. Goddammit.
When Lich's Mastery
Yes?
When Lich's Mastery leaves the battlefield, you lose the game.
Oh, this took a dark turn.
I mean, you do know what happens when Lich's Mastery leaves the battlefield.
You get deaded.
No. In response to the trigger, you cast...
The one mana split second
glorious,
thing, right?
No, you cast Glorious End. So no,
not like
you
this.
Are not dying this turn, you are dying the next turn.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Unless you win the game.
I mean, he did, like, draw a bunch of cards.
But yeah, this is a stupid thing and somebody's gonna have a heyday with it. It's not gonna be me. It's not gonna be me, though.
I mean, I just need to find a way to not lose life.
Gee.
Ooh, Platinum Empyrean! Oh my
there
god!
There we go.
So, Blacktron, here we come.
No, you play Black Rat, so you can play the experiment.
That is true, but that's already too much colors. I mean, it's triple black. Let's be real here. So next up we have the card that I'm excited about that's gonna actually be one of the reasons why Standard Super
yeah.
or not. And it's Rat Colony. Rat Colony is 1 and a black for a creature rat, 2/1. Rat Colony gets +1/+0 for each other rat creature you control. Other rat you...
Yep.
A deck can have any number of cards named Rat Colony.
There we go, GG.
Simple deck building 101. 20 swamps, 40 rat colony.
There we go.
Can't win. You can't win against that. How do you beat them? You don't.
Yeah. Pyroclasm?
Not in.
Oh, not yet.
Touché.
Let's carry on. Karazov, Sengir Pureblood. 5, black, and Sengirs are back, by the way. 4/4. Legendary Vampire, flying. Whenever a creature an opponent control... is dealt damage, put a +1/+1 counter on Karazov Sengir Pureblood. 3 in red, Karazov deals 2 damage to the tower creature. Noise.
Oh, I thought that whenever he deals damage...
No.
This guy might not be the utter trash I thought it was.
He isn't total trash. He isn't that good, but he's cool.
7 mana 4/4. Keep that in.
I said he was cool, not good.
It's not something I would instantly put in...
A deck?
Into the vamp. Yeah, a deck. Even Vampire Tribal? It's kind of like...
Vampire Tribal these days is much more lower mana cost, that's the thing.
Not me that much, but this guy's like... It's for something else, not for a tribal.
Yeah. Next card you want to talk about is...
I don't know, you're the one.
Oh yeah, the Eldest Reborn. 4 and a black. It's an enchantment saga. 1. Each opponent sacrifices a creature or a planeswalker. 2. Each opponent discards a card. 3. Put a target creature or planeswalker card from a graveyard onto the battlefield under your control. I'm not sure what this is talking about, to be honest. Who is this Eldest that's being reborn? Is it maybe about the dragons?
The Eldest weren't.
Or is this maybe about the Cabal? One of the two things.
We'll see when it becomes a spoiled.
It's a cool effect, but I'm just not sure what this story is about. But let's carry on
well,
to...
You know what's actually also a cool effect, and you went over it? It's
Which
Dark
one?
Bargain.
Oh, Dark Bargain is sweet.
So it's a 3 and a black instant. Look at the top 3 cards of your library. Put 2 of them into your hand and the rest, the other into your graveyard. Dark Bargain deals 2 damage. I like
yeah, it's
it.
Nice.
It's kind of like a black version of... not Shuttle, but...
Which one?
To separate the files.
Factor Fiction?
Factor Fiction. Not sure. Almost like that. You know. You pick two good cards.
Yeah,
you
pick two cards less, but you're the one doing all the choices, so...
And also, putting into your graveyard is a lot better than putting it at the bottom of your library.
In fact, Reflection does it, it puts it in your graveyard anyway.
I know, but it's black.
Yeah. Next thing you want to talk about?
Another legend, I thought. Urgoros, the empty one. So it's a 4 double black legendary specter, 4/3, flying. And never, whenever it deals combat damage to a player, that player discards a card at random. If the player can't, you draw a card. Nice throwback to the original Spectre.
Yep, yep.
With a little upset.
Oh, you can't actually Dark Ritual into this one, but you know.
You can double Dark... I mean, can't, actually.
You can't, actually, you're missing one.
You can double Dark Ritual it on turn two.
That's less sexy, but you know. Next card is actually quite interesting. Settle the score. 2 black-black. Exile target creature. Put 2 loyalty counters on a place of walker you control, and it's a sorcery.
Yeah, because Atraxa Super Friends really need this kind of boost.
Hey!
So, I mean, yeah, this is like a budget Vraska's Contempt.
Yeah. And if you have some planeswalkers around, it's marginally useful.
Whoa, you can actually use Tybalt's second ability without losing the game with this card.
You can not
use his plus one and lose the game. That's an upside.
Yeah. Can we talk about the next card, please? Read it.
Whisper, Blood
Liturgist.
Liturgist?
Yes.
3 and a black for a 2/2 legendary creature human cleric. Tap it and sacrifice 2 creatures to return target creature card from your graveyard to the battlefield.
Don't mind if I do, actually. Oh. Don't mind if I do.
It's a better health caretaker.
Yep. And it sacrifices more dudes, that's good.
Sometimes it's good, yeah.
And most often when I sacrifice dudes, I don't care that much about, you know, oh no, it's 2 dudes, what will I do?
Well, the most important part is that it's instant speed.
And the power and toughness are actually perfect.
Yeah, 2/2.
Yeah, sweet. I'm liking this card and it's an uncommon. We have the disappointment of the lore variety.
We don't know is it uncommon, this is just a guess.
Yeah, but I'm guessing it's gonna be correct.
So, Demon Lord Belzenlok, the 4th demon, the most powerful one, they say.
Yeah.
So, for 4 and a double black, legendary creature, Elder Demon. Demon?
Oh, that's the Elder Reborn.
But
maybe.
Why is he reborn? He was here from forever.
Maybe he got screwed by something, I don't know. I don't know his life story.
Magic R&D. It's a 6 mana, 6/6 flying trample demon.
Okay, good, good.
So, we have quite a bit of text, but let's go. When Demon Lord Belzenlok enters the battlefield, exile cards from the top of your library. You exile a non-land card, then put that card into your hand. If the card's converted mana cost is 4 or greater, repeat this process. Demon Lord Belzenlok deals 1 damage to you for each card.
So, why is this guy the most powerful one?
Just going through the story a bit, so Demon Lord Belzenlok's specialty is taking titles for himself that don't belong to him.
Ah, there we go,
He's like the slayer of the Elder Dragon Slayer, which he did not slay, of course. and he also took Yavgmoth's Lord of Waste.
So to quote the History of the World movie, he's a bullshit artist.
Yeah, and he calls himself Belzenlok, Lord of Wastes. Yeah, he's more Belzenlok, Lord of a Wasted Mythic slot.
I mean, I'm not sure how to break this card. I'm not sure if I even can break this card.
You can break this card. You put in just 4 cost cards in your deck.
Ah, I build a shitty deck is what you're saying. Let's not do that. I would still much rather have Grizzle Daddy than this guy.
It's not a May for the repeat this process. It's not a May.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is demony and all, but, you know, he could have actually been
the most
powerful demon, and he's worse than almost every one of them?
You know what I'm gonna bet? He's gonna have some bitching art.
I mean, we did see the art in the trailer.
Oh yeah, that was him.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Want to talk about something else?
We had Gristlebrand that drew 7 cards. at will. And he actually, you know, made up for it by having lifelink.
By being stupidly broken, you mean?
Yeah. Then fucking we had Razaket, that is also completely fair and balanced, but you know, you pay 2 life to 2 to Rakard. I mean,
you forgot about Kotopet.
He's worse. Okay, let's be honest.
Kotopet is okay, actually. I don't mind him as much as I mind this guy.
Kotopet is really good when people use fetches. Then he's like...
Yeah.
But, you know, Razaket came and it was like, wow, 2 life and a creature to 2 to Rakard. That is like
By the way,
insane.
You were thinking about the Obnixilis. Kotopet is the one, whenever a creature dies, you lose a life, draw a card.
Whenever a creature? No, it's whenever a permanent dies.
Is it?
It's whenever a permanent to your graveyard.
I guess, sure.
Yeah, I remember, because he would be pretty shit. It
was permanent by... permanent by owned by another player. Another player. Anywho, carry on. With the rant.
Yeah, we have this amazing tutor guy, and then I was like, wow, Demon Lord Belzenlok? Elder Demon? What does he do?
Nothing.
He draws a card, okay?
Womp.
Elder... I mean, he's an Elder Demon because he probably stole that title. anyway.
what's the card that's interesting? Something like... the next legendary creature?
Yeah, these the rest are like...
So, Thoragar, Feminine Incarnate for 6 and a black-black. Legendary creature Avatar, 7-6. As an additional cost to cast the spell, you may sacrifice any number of creatures. This spell costs 2 generic less to cast for each creature sacrificed this way. When he enters the battlefield, up to 1 target player's life total becomes their half their starting life total, rounded down. Boom.
So this is quite an interesting card. This is a very interesting card.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm looking at it for standard playability, and I can see it. I mean, so you need some kind of... good token production in black vampires.
Yep.
And you just need 2 black mana to actually cast him. You can't actually get 3 creatures until, but, you know, paying 2 mana for a 7-6 that sets
puts
people
ten.
At 10.
At least 10.
At least 10. Kind of good, you know.
Yeah, but everything needs to go perfectly for that to happen.
Not really perfect. I don't think it's that hard to get 3 tokens up and...
Yeah, but all in all, this guy is cool, right?
He is cool. He can even heal you if you're, like, at 2. And then you're like, here, I cast this Avatar of Famine, and I heal myself.
I eat much more. By the way, what I want to say, this guy feels much more demon-y than, you know, the previous demon.
Yeah, this guy is, like, a better Belzenlok. Come on.
Wow, get wrecked, bitch. I'm liking this guy. This guy's cool. Anything else you want to talk about in black?
Oh, we get a cool removal.
Oh, yeah. What does it do?
It's a Vicious Offering for 1 and a black. It's an instant. With Kicker, sacrifice a creature. Oh, yeah, Kicker's coming back.
Kicker is back, which means drafting is going to be a bit slower, I think.
Target creature gets -2/-2 until end of turn. If this spell was kicked, that creature gets -5/-5 until end of turn. So... That's
sweet.
Pretty deep.
Mm-hmm.
For 2 mana, give -5/-5. It kills all the gods.
Yep. Kills stupid dragons.
Kills a bunch of stuff. If you sacrifice a guy, which I don't think is a problem, again.
I mean, if they attack with the stupid dragon and, you know, they target your creature, might as well sacrifice him.
So yeah, remember that they're going to make a good sacrifice shell in this expansion?
Yep.
When I said in Rivals, well,
mm-hmm.
There you go.
Haha, good job. Could we stop with this the podcast now because it's like 11:20 and I need to work early in the morning tomorrow?
Oh,
and
sure.
we have a bunch of spoilers left. Oh my god.
And by the time we actually get to them, there'll be more.
I mean, hell, if you want, we can record like in day or two, second part of this. For this week, I'm okay with that, but I would like to get some rest right now.
Sure. So, this has been a special 2-year anniversary podcast. It's
and
number 6.
Tess came back home. Say hi to Tess. But yeah, this has been 2nd year anniversary. A week late, but you know.
That was the part you blow in it.
Ah, okay. But yeah, this has been really good 2 years to me.
Hooray for us.
yeah, I'm having fun making this podcast. I would wish that we could record even further, but I really need to take a bit of a rest. Oh my god. Oh, you, with your broken leg that doesn't go anywhere, right? You bastard.
Yeah, I need to rest from, you know, not moving at all.
Wow. I kind of wish I had that lifestyle.
Okay, so...
But yeah, this has been episode 66 of the Elder Dragon Journal podcast. You can find all of our contact info in the show notes, including the article that I wrote. And Nick, any more things you need to add?
Nothing.
Well, okay, that has been it. And people, as always, the Emperor protects, and thank you for sticking with us for 2 years.
Thank you, people, and as always, Entarok Karn.